Pop Spotting 144.
Thursday, October 6, 2011.
Welcome to Pop Spotting. I'm Jen.
And I'm Ryan. It's Thursday, so it's time once again for Pop Talk and Trivia. You enlighten us with your favorite things, and then we challenge you with obscure trivia questions.
Joining us today from Blackstone, Massachusetts is Rob V. He is the founder, editor, and chief podcaster for The Geek Generation over at thegeekgeneration.com. It's a show for geeks, by geeks, and it looks at movies, TV, video games, comics, and just about everything else.
Rob is also a professional wrestler for Northeast Championship Wrestling. He's also a teacher and a graphic designer. Sounds like a fantastic resume there. Rob V, thank you for joining us on Pop Spotting.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys. Yeah, I'm a busy guy.
It sounds like it.
You yeah. are definitely the first professional wrestler we've ever had on the show.
Oh, excellent. I tend to be the first professional wrestler in a lot of people's lives, so I'm proud to be one here.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I'm sure you'd love to talk about your podcast, but I have to ask you, like, how do you combine being a professional wrestler with a teacher? I mean, do your students know not to mess with you, basically?
obviously we can't be very violent in school or anything, but there is a certain intimidation factor that comes along with it.
What's your professional wrestler name?
Right now I go by the Night Angel Berserker. It's, I think, the second character I've had so far in about 7 years of wrestling.
What a great name.
Wow. I'm already intimidated. I think we'll probably change our trivia questions on the fly here. But what we actually do here on Pop Talk and Trivia is we ask our listeners and great podcasters to school us on things that we should know more about. And we look for three recommendations. Rob, are you ready to share with us your first pick?
Absolutely. Unfortunately, none of them are wrestling related, but like you guys mentioned, I am very geek focused, so I think they all fall in within that category there.
I think we know more about geek than professional wrestling for sure, so let's go ahead.
All right, great. The first one that I've loved for the last few years, and I'm loving even still as it's in its third season, is a show on Sci-Fi called Warehouse 13. Have you seen it?
I've heard so much about it. Other people mention it. I think I caught one episode and couldn't really understand what was happening apart from artifacts that do special things. So why don't you bring us up to speed?
Yeah, well, that's basically the premise of the show, is that there are two former Secret Service agents that end up getting recruited by this warehouse, in this case Warehouse 13, because there are a number of them, and their job is basically to bag and tag. So they get these pings on the radar and they have to find these special artifacts. But the coolest thing about the artifacts is that not only do they each have powers, but they're somehow tied into history. So, for instance, Edgar Allan Poe's pen and notebook, when you put them together, anything you write down will actually come to life. And they have all those different kind of artifacts like that. Like another one is Lewis Carroll's looking glass. That is actually a portal to another world, hence the whole Alice in Wonderland connection.
So basically, we're looking at an artifact a week and a surprising power that's infused with it.
Yeah, so it's basically the procedural of the bag and tag, the artifact, and then they try to weave in kind of the overarching story throughout the season. And the reason I like it so much is because not only is it geeky and kind of that history realm and everything, it has a good comedy element to it, and it's actually a very funny show. So if you're a fan of Monk or that style of comedy, I think it lends itself to a similar type, like right there.
Can you tell us a little bit about the cast?
Sure. The two main characters are, the characters are Pete Latimer and Micah Baring. They're played by Eddie McClintock and Joanne Kelly. And this was the first thing I had seen either of them in. So to learn about them as actors and then start following them on Twitter and everything has been really interesting, just that discovery process. And Saul Rubinick, who is Artie in the show, is probably the only guy I was really familiar with, and he's a great, great part of the cast. He's kind of like the warehouse runner, more or less. One of the things I like about the show, too, is that it runs during the summer. So when there's nothing else to watch, you can always watch Warehouse 13.
Okay, so it's moving through its third season. I mean, yes. Although it's a bag and tag and a procedural and an artifact of the week, what evolution are you tracking over the years for this summer series?
The current thing they're doing right now is they actually have almost a rival agency or what they suspect to be a rival agency going against them that has knowledge of the artifacts that they've never run into. So they're kind of in an artifact war, I guess you could say. They're being attacked by another agency.
I'm looking at the Wikipedia page, and it says that the show has like a 50% female viewership, which is kind of huge considering the subject matter and the fact that it's on sci-fi.
Yeah, it's actually the highest rated original sci-fi show they've ever had.
So, Rob, what is your second recommendation?
Second recommendation is I'm admittedly a child of the 80s. So I grew up on other cartoons like He-Man and Thundercats and Silverhawks and all those type of cartoons.
I remember those.
Yep.
Yeah. Whenever someone says remake, I get nervous.
Me too.
Yeah. And there's been a lot of that going on lately. But I've been watching the rebooted series of Thundercats that's on Cartoon Network. And it is fantastic to the point where it's better than the original.
Wow. You know, I loved the Thundercats. We have small children in the house, young boys, and I don't think I've seen this.
It is a great show so far. They're at least halfway through the first season. And it's written so well that during episode 4, I think it was, I was bawling at the end of it because it's an incredibly sad. And then really, like, Thundercats, crying at a Thundercats cartoon. Ridiculous. But it's that well written, and the voice acting's tremendous. Will Friedle, who used to be on Boy Meets World, and also voiced Terry McGinnis in Batman Beyond, he does the voice of Lion-O in this series.
Clancy Brown also, who's a huge voice actor.
Oh, tremendous. Tremendous. And one of the coolest things about the pilot episode they did is they brought back the original voice actor that did Lion-O in the 80s cartoon, and they had him voice Lion-O's father for this one. So it was cool to hear.
Well, I mean, it sounds much more, you know, deep and intense and compelling than the original Saturday morning, just kind of, you know, the light chuckle action fest that it was. And when you say reboot, are they starting from scratch? This is not a sequel then. They're not adding on to the mythology that they had back then in the 80s?
They are taking some of the ideas that used, but they're definitely starting from the beginning of a story and building their own world. One of the things that was weird about the 80s Thundercats show is, no matter how many episodes you saw, you never really got an idea of where were these people. They're just kind of placed in who knows where. And now they're fleshing out the world a lot more. I mean, there's a whole ocean made of sand that kind of moves around like water, which is very cool. They've gone on journeys all over the place looking for the Book of Omens. And there's much more of a cohesive plot line in this one than just Lion-O learns an episode the lesson.
He learns it's important to share with friends.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, so there's an arc. I mean, from one episode to the next, things happen that have repercussions that last more than one episode?
Absolutely. There's definitely a continuation between each episode and this one. There are the individual stories, but there really is one plot line going throughout them all.
Without giving too much away, can you tell us a little bit about the episode that made you cry?
Yeah, I want to. How does that happen, Rob?
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. It's an episode about they run into kind of like a thorny jungle, and there is a new type of creature or race that they run into, and I believe they're like leaf people. I forget exactly what they were called.
Okay.
But they're these little plant people, and basically they find out that these plant people have a lifespan of a day. And compared to their lifespan, it seems like these leaf people are moving through time really quickly. So Lion-O befriends one of them as a baby and basically watches this entire person's life go from beginning to end. And to this little leaf person, Lion-O is his hero and his mentor throughout his entire life, which is, it's huge when you think about that whole like life and death type thing. And
wow,
a person's a part of your whole life while they could have just been like the smaller part of yours. And it was very deep for a cartoon.
What sounds like maybe it might have been a Fringe episode or something certainly more adult. I mean, are they aiming this show at kids? I mean, what do you think is the target? Is it you or is it our young sons?
I think for the younger crowd, it might be the action and the things like that that they'll kind of latch on to. But I think they definitely made a wise decision and aimed it towards the people who saw the original show and would really want to come back and see something Thundercats related.
Sounds fantastic.
Yeah, it was great.
We'll definitely have to check it out with our boys. So what is your last recommendation?
My last recommendation is something I should have, as a geek, gotten into way before the time I did. I had heard about it just permeating geek culture for years, never really thought about watching British television, but I just started watching Doctor Who.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and are you fans of the show?
We're just now getting into it also, but I think we've hooked our daughter, which is kind of an achievement because she was a hardcore gleek and wasn't really interested in anything else.
Yeah, she's into anything that we don't like, so I was surprised that she was really big on this one. So where are you? I mean, how did you jump in?
Well, I wasn't sure where to jump in. I think that's a lot of people's issue, is that there's so much content around this universe that you don't really know where to start. And I really like Chris Hardwick's podcast, The Nerdist. Mm-hmm. He recommended to his listeners that you start with the 2005 Doctor Who, the Chris Eccleston year. And that's right. Where I decided to start. So I watched that. I watched the first season of Tennant, and I'm currently finishing up the third season right now with David Tennant. And it's totally got me hooked. I'm definitely a Whovian now.
Is that the season that we're starting with, Katie?
Yeah, we're starting also with the Chris Eccleston Doctor.
It's a tremendous show, and I guarantee you there's going to be at least three episodes where you end up crying.
Okay, well,
or maybe it's just me crying at everything. I don't know.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think we might be sensing something that you might not expect from a professional wrestler.
I'm a sensitive guy, okay?
Well, you know, I'm kind of in the sense that, you know, I realize, like you, that Doctor Who is such this big universe, and that it is also so universally acclaimed. It was hard for me to think of where I would get a toehold or where I would be able to grab onto it and get into it. And I was kind of afraid of maybe the hype not matching what you actually got. It sounds like you're committed. So what sucked you in specifically about Doctor Who?
I think it's one of those things where you just see how many people similar to you are really into something, and you're like, why have I never gotten to that? So I really, even the first couple episodes I watched, and I was like, wow, this looks really corny, and am I going to be able to hang with this? And after a little while, it just gets you hooked in. You don't even realize. I was joking on one of my shows recently that I'm pretty sure there are subliminal messages in the theme song that just kind of say, more Doctor Who, more Doctor Who. So I don't know.
Now, when you're comparing this that first season, and now you're in the David Tennant seasons of Doctor Who, who's your favorite Doctor Who so far?
Oh, man, it's tough. I think so many people say whoever your first Doctor is really your Doctor, but it's tough to say one is necessarily better than the other. At first, I thought Tennant was kind of doing an impression of Eccleston and then kind of started to grow into the character on his own. So whereas Tennant's character is kind of really extreme and he can get really intense, Eccleston was great in the fact that he had like this childlike sense of wonderment, and he actually reminded me of Goku from Dragon Ball Z a lot, where he could be really smiley and happy one moment, but then almost click a switch and just get down to business when he needed to. It was great.
Well, we haven't gotten to Tennant. I do like Eccleston's performance, specifically because he can be so wide-eyed and really surprised by things, even for somebody who probably shouldn't be surprised by anything.
He's fantastic!
What is your favorite episode so far?
Oh, man. That is a tough question. Let's see. Well, I just watched one that was actually recommended to me by someone. It's one of the Tennant episodes called Blink, where they introduce the Weeping Angels. And I don't want to spoil anything for you guys. So it was actually a really, really well done episode that used time travel extremely well, kind of linking things from the past and the present together and kind of looping and swooping around.
Well, it's good to be reinforced that we're on the right track, and we're even further behind. So you weren't the last, you know, the last geek on Earth to get into Doctor Who.
Glad to know.
So Rob's recommendations are Warehouse 13 on Sci-Fi, the rebooted Thundercats on the Cartoon Network, and Doctor Who, starting with the 2005 series starring Christopher Eccleston.
So are you ready, Rob V, for some trivia?
I'm a little afraid because I've heard past episodes, and based on the amount of people and some of the ranges, like if it's geeky, I'm good, but I don't know. Trivia in general might be tough.
Well, I think you could do okay, especially, again, I think podcasters, especially one with something called the geek generation, I have high hopes for you. Here on Pop Talk and Trivia, we let you pick the categories, in fact, so you can get a sense for what you might feel more comfortable with, and then you only have to answer 2 out of 3 of the questions in those categories. Jen, what are Rob V's categories?
I'm a chef, and I play one on TV, King of Pop, or Big Screen Geeks.
So we've got a TV category, a music category, I think that's Michael Jackson, basically, and a movie category.
I'll go with the movie category, absolutely. I mean, anything geek-related, I have to. What was the first category again?
I'm a chef and play one on TV.
Ooh, I know very little about TV chefs, so I'll risk the Michael Jackson category.
Sounds like fun. We'll start with the King of Pop.
Number one, Michael Jackson released 9 studio albums during his lifetime, plus 1 put out after his death. 6 of the 9 made it to number 1 on the U.S. charts. Can you name at least 3 of his albums?
Let's see. Bad.
Yes.
Thriller.
Absolutely.
And, oh, what was that? History of... there's one where he's a silver statue on the front of it. I cannot think of the name.
We'll
accept History. That's fantastic. Great work. His other many, many albums were Got to Be There, Ben, Music and Me, Forever Michael, Off the Wall, Dangerous, Invincible, and of course the posthumous Michael. So very good. You've got the first question. Number 2.
Michael had 3 sisters and 5 brothers. Can you give us the names of at least 3 of his siblings?
LaToya, Tito, and Jermaine.
Fantastic. Very good.
Wow.
Very good. Very good. The rest were, of course, Janet Jackson, Jackie Jackson, Rebby, Marlon, and Randy. So you've taken the category. Can you clear it out?
Number 3, in addition to his albums and countless music videos, Michael Jackson has a big screen filmography of 7 films. They include works by directors like Sidney Lumet and Francis Ford Coppola. Can you name at least 2 of them?
Moonwalker, I know, is one.
Very good, 1988.
And, oh man, another Jim Michael Jackson movie. I think I'm lost on this one.
Okay, well, Jen, what are some of the other Michael Jackson films?
The Wiz in 1978, Captain EO in 1986, Michael Jackson's Ghosts in 1997, Men in Black 2 in 2002.
Oh, that's right.
Miss Castaway and the Island Girls in 2004, and This Is It in 2009.
Well,
oh, the current one, yeah.
That's right. Well, that's okay, Rob. I think you did fantastic. You took the Michael Jackson category, and this one I think you'll have no problem with.
I'd be sad if I got the Michael Jackson one and this one I messed up. So.
That's right.
Geeks work well in pairs. Name the movie and at least 1 of the 2 lead characters or actors. Number 1, with the help of liquid hot liniment and spy cam photos, the Lambda 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 fraternity overthrows the Alpha Betas and the Greek Games.
That would be Revenge of the Nerds.
Yes, and can you give us either of the 2 leads, the 2 stars or the head geeks in that movie?
Oh man, what were their names? Character names
or actors?
Actors?
We'll take either.
Either.
Okay. Oh, it's been a while. It's been a while. Well, I remember Booger. I don't know if he was a lead. I always remember Booger.
Well, I don't know, Jen. Will you accept Booger?
I don't know, sure. If Booger was a lead.
Well, it's an unforgettable character. We will take Booger because we like you, Rob. The other, the 2 starter geeks there were Louis Skolnick, played by Robert Carradine, and Gilbert Lowe, played by Anthony Edwards. But that's okay.
Oh!
Two more. Here we go.
Okay.
Number 2, 2 geeky Shermer High School students hatch a Frankenstein-like plan to design the perfect woman and get more than they bargain for when they plug a military mainframe into a Barbie doll.
Weird Science.
Absolutely. 1985. Give us a couple of those lead geeks.
I can say Robert Downey Jr. and it was in it. I know he wasn't a lead geek.
We'll take it.
Yeah? I mean, he's probably bigger now than either of the original geeks were.
Yeah, I think, again, you know, if you have that memory, that works for me. The movie did start, though, with the character of Gary, played by Anthony Michael Hall, and, of course, Wyatt, played by Elan Mitchell Smith. But you've taken the category, you've won the game, but now I think I want to see if you can clear out these big screen geeks.
And number 3, at Pacific Tech University, brilliant students are unwittingly used to develop a deadly laser technology for the CIA. In the end, they only manage to pop popcorn.
Real Genius with Val Kilmer.
Yes.
Very good. You got it. That's it. Real Genius, 1985. Val Kilmer played the fantastic Chris Knight. And, of course, you had Mitch, who was played by Gabriel Jarrett. I'm not sure whatever happened to that guy.
I think he's a professor.
Oh, okay. But
makes sense.
I'm happy to say, Rob, you have won Pop Talk and Trivia for today. Congratulations, sir.
Wow. I was not expecting it, honestly.
Way to go.
Way to go. And
without your caveats, I don't know if I would have made it through.
Hey, no, we'll take it. You know the movies, then I was sure you would. And your prize right now is bragging rights, so you can just go ahead and put that on your resume.
I absolutely will, along with everything else there. Yeah.
Well, Rob, before we let you go, could you let everybody know where they can find some of your great geek content out on the internet?
Absolutely. My site is thegeekgeneration.com. And like you mentioned before, we do have movie reviews and news and TV and video games and all that stuff, as well as three podcasts, which we have on there, including The Geek Generation. We have a comic book one called Graphically Speaking, and there is a separate channel for movie reviews. So all of those can be found on the site. And on Twitter, you can find us at Geek Generation.
Fantastic.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us today, Rob.
Thanks for having me. I loved it.
Thanks very much, Rob. Aloha to you.
Aloha to you.
If you'd like to join us on the show and tell us about all of the things that you think we should know about, we'd love to have you on. And even if you're too shy, we hope you're not too shy to drop us a line.
We love hearing from you, and there are many ways you can get in touch. You can leave a comment on our blog at popspotting.net. You can drop us a line via email at feedback@popspotting.net, or you can leave a voicemail. We love the voicemails at 815-310-0808.
You can post your thoughts on our Facebook page at facebook.com/popspotting or tweet us on Twitter at twitter.com/popspotting.
You can also find me on Twitter at Hawaii.
And I'm at Mrs. Hawaii, and we're both on Google Plus also.
We'll be back tomorrow with another fresh serving of Pop Spotting Feedback.
Thank you to Dan Pashman of The Sporkful for our theme song, and thank you guys for listening.
For Pop Spotting, I'm Ryan.
I'm Jen.
Aloha.